What is up? It is me, George G. We've got another awesome episode of the Aligned Money Show coming your way featuring Miss Stephen Gwynup. Stephen is the founder and CEO of Grow Wealthy. It's an organization providing health coaching and education to financial advisors and their clients. We had an awesome conversation that, of course, started with two truths and a lie. And then we got into how protecting ourselves and our bodies is no different than protecting our personal finances. Asking the question, can your body afford to do the thing you're about to do? And sometimes that comes in the form of eating sugar, eating pizza, drinking alcohol. Can my body afford this? Can my liver process this? And how to know if the answer is yes or if the answer is no. And if the answer is no, what you can do to better position yourself for long-term success, and in this example, health, and how you can be managing your blood pressure, the power of water, walking, and weights, how to just become a healthier person, how to realize that the way you feel today isn't necessarily the way that you ought to be feeling, and certainly not how you could be feeling, because you could be feeling so much better. You could be so much healthier with some really small changes. We close with a great difference-making tip. I know you're going to love it. Let's go. Stephen, to get us started, give me two truths and a lie, please.
Okay. George, I launched my book on Amazon yesterday and misspelled the title.
Okay.
An organization in Ireland ordered 100 copies for their members. I can hold a handstand for 10 seconds.
Okay. Let's see here. Well, as somebody who's written books, that would be a mortifying experience to have the thing published. So, wow. 100 copies off to Ireland, okay? And you can hold a handstand for 10 seconds. I bet you can hold a handstand for longer than that.
That's the lie. Yes. I cannot.
So less? You can do it for less than 10 seconds?
I can do it for 5. I can't do it for 10.
All right. Okay.
No. I'm working toward it, but no, I can't.
How long have you been working towards this?
So it's like I had it when I was young, I lost it, and now I'm getting it back. So I've been working on it diligently for maybe 3 months.
Okay. All right. Well, that is awesome. I remember I myself have probably never been able to do a headstand or a handstand or any kind of a stand. My wife is a yogi, and I remember helping her learn to do and consistently do handstands. So I know how hard that is. So you'll certainly get there. It makes me kind of recoil to go through the experience of having a misspelled title on my book on Amazon. Tell me about
that.
Yeah, I know.
It was horrifying. This has been a year longer than it should be. My coach and I are on the call together and we're like ready to publish it. Neither one of us caught it.
Oh, man.
And it goes live. And that's the one thing on Amazon you cannot change. Is the title. And I'm just like,
oh, I didn't know that. Amazing.
So anybody out there that goes to the paperback on Amazon will see there is an extra two words in the title that should not be there.
What are the extra words?
To plan. Ah. It says to plan twice.
To plan. You know, I'd probably just go right over that.
I know. I did.
Yeah. So did another human being who's trying to help you get the book right. It's just, it's amazing how our brains can play tricks on us. And there's a lot of exploration to do there.
Yes, there is. It's like we can't see the elephant in front of us.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy.
How funny.
Did happen. And it still exists like that on Amazon today.
And I believe, Stephen, you and I met when you were in the United States, and now you've been living abroad for a couple of years. And so have you been working with financial advisors in Ireland? And that's how the 100 books came to be?
Yes, it is. Yep. So last year, you and I met in Scottsdale a couple of years ago. Then we moved here. I was on Michael Kitz's podcast about a year ago. And someone from Ireland listened, picked it up, invited me to come speak. I did. Last year, they invited me back this year, FPI, Mark Hederman and team. And they also invited one of my clients to come. And we were on stage together to talk about his transformation. He wrote the foreword to my book, Harris
Oh,
Nydick.
sure.
So we were there. You know Harris, don't
Yeah.
you? Yes. So we were there just last month. And got to talk to them, and then they just messaged me and said, "Hey, we're giving this to our members." So, your
That is
book.
awesome right there. I mean, that somebody that you've had such a strong impact being a guest on a podcast that they invited you to go and speak, and then obviously that they're inviting you back is proof and evidence that that what you're doing is resonating and doing a good job, and that Harris went with you is obviously evidence. So I guess the what I should be saying is congratulations.
Thank you. It all feels surreal, but so much fun.
So that's a legitimate whirlwind in just a short amount of time to do all these things and now to have launched a book. So what is top of mind for you right now?
Top of mind for me is it resonates in two conversations I had just yesterday. And top of mind of me for me right now is that when you can put your health in terms of can your body afford the thing? Can your body afford it? Then it helps you make better decisions. So you want to have three beers and two glasses of wine and eat pizza? Can your liver afford that? And if you can just ask yourself that, like a budget, right? Then you can say, oh, it can't afford all of that. What am I going to take back? Just like if you wanted to buy a new car, a new house, and go on a vacation, you have to make decisions about what you can afford. And it's the same thing for your health. That's what's top of mind for me today.
Well, I love everything about that for sure. And my answer to that question is, can you afford it or not, liver? Because here it comes, buddy. Here comes wine, beer, and pizza because it's Friday, so that's probably going to happen. How do I know that though, Stephen? How do I learn to answer that question?
If your body can afford it, if it can't afford it, then it'll tell you in two ways. One is in your physicality of your body. You'll have belly fat or visceral fat. That means your liver can't afford your lifestyle right now. But in your blood work is the second way. You will have high liver enzymes, which is called AST and ALT. You'll also see that your insulin is high. And you'll see other biomarkers that say your liver is struggling. So those are the keys. Right off the bat, you can just look down, and if there's pinchable belly fat right there, or even a stomach that's kind of thumpable. Have you ever seen those stomachs? They're hard like a drum. That's visceral fat underneath the belly, underneath the abdominal muscles, right? That's around all the organs. So if the belly sticks out from the body in any way, you know the liver is struggling. So I would be like, okay, the liver can't, you can't afford what your lifestyle is. So it has to, you have to backpedal off of that in some ways. How you choose to do that is up to you. If it's the beer or the pizza or sleep or stress or whatever it is, but it's like, give your liver a break. Give it time to breathe. Give it time to pay off some of that debt.
So I am rolling over credit card debt from 1 month to the next. I'm living paycheck to paycheck if I've got belly fat.
Yes, that's a great analogy. Perfect analogy. Yes. It's
There are fewer
costing
things that
you.
I like in life that are better than an analogy. So, Steve.
Me too. High five. I love analogies. Yes. Belly fat. I actually say this in my presentations. Belly fat is high interest credit card debt. Yeah. So the first thing you want to do is try to pay that off and get it gone. And then your liver can breathe a sigh of relief and it doesn't get fatty. There's one in three Americans right now that have fatty liver disease and don't know it.
One
And
in
that's bad.
three. I don't
One
doubt
in
that for a
three.
second.
Yeah, fatty liver just means that your liver produces the wrong kind of cholesterol, so your cholesterol goes up. If you have fatty liver, your blood pressure goes up. If you have fatty liver, you start to become diabetic. You start to put fat on. All these things go wrong when your liver is fatty. So it's the biggest organ in your body. It's like the size of a football. And it works 24/7 trying to clean out all the junk we do to it. and still repair things and make things and create your blood cells and all the stuff that it does. And then we just bombard it with all this horrible stuff. And the liver's like, enough, I can't afford that right now. I'm too busy working on this problem. Right. So that's what's top of mind for me. And when I said that this to that guy yesterday, he's like, light bulb went on. I totally get that. Like, that makes logical sense because he coaches his clients the same way, but just for money.
Right.
And the same is true for your health. Can your body afford that right now?
I'm fond of talking about financial literacy as what I know, and then financial wellness is what I do. And you can map that obviously directly onto what it is that we're talking about here.
Yes.
And I will sometimes assume that people know more than they actually do, and it's just we have a hard time putting what we know into practice. But when it comes to what we've just been talking about, I don't know that most people understand that the impact your liver has, how you need to be more mindful of overworking it,
Do
and
you
then
want to
how to
go a little
actually make
deeper into
changes.
that?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's like there's so much that I know that I'm supposed to eat less than I burn, and I shouldn't drink too much. But what are sort of those foundational things that I have to learn in order to bridge that gap from wherever I am today to where it is that I want to be, which is a healthier version of me?
Yeah, so let's just use one example. So let's just say you have 3 beers tonight, okay? And they come into your body, into your stomach absorbs it, and the liver has to neutralize that poison, is what that is, and then it has to eliminate it from the body. And it takes the liver a lot of work. It's like, think of it as someone coming in and trashing your house. You have to go in and clean everything. Well, while you're cleaning everything, the sugar that you just ate, pizza or the cake or the soda or whatever, it has to wait its turn to get processed by the liver. And while it's waiting its turn, it's like a 2-year-old left to roam in the house. It's tearing down all the curtains and crawling on the walls, and it's wreaking havoc in your body because it's like actually in non-analogy terms, it's actually killing cells inside of your body. Sugar is killing cells when it's left unattended to. So that's why the body has to fix it fast. And if it can't fix it fast because it's working on the alcohol, you are killing off more cells and aging quicker and heading yourself into destroying these other parts of your body that you don't want to destroy, right? So that's why I'm like, if you're going to have some alcohol and then you put sugar on top of it, your liver can't afford that because it can't do both at the same time. So have the alcohol, but then have protein and vegetables, right? A nice steak with a big salad and then some alcohol, right? Or if you're not going to have alcohol, then have the pizza because you're going to go for water. And that way your liver can do the job that it needs to do and you don't end up getting yourself into trouble. Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense. I like the idea of unattended sugar running through my house as my middle child does and running and just destroying everything. It's
Yes.
took the form of dumping over a massive tray of Legos onto the ground, but not just onto the ground in the middle of the floor, right by the couch, so it all went underneath.
Of
So
course.
yeah.
Yeah, just like that. Yes.
So okay, if I am a reasonable, responsible adult, which I am not, and I intend to probably do all of those things to my body tonight. Probably going to have some wine, probably going to eat some steak, but I'm also going to probably have some form of sugar as well.
Yeah.
Is there a way to lessen that? Is it consume more water? Is or
Yeah.
no?
Yeah. So let's say it's the house analogy and it's a wreck again. We'll use that one. Bring in some helpers, right, to help you clean the house and get it like many hands make light work, right? So you can move the offending foods further away from bedtime. So it's more damaging the closer to bedtime and less damaging the further away from bedtime. It's also going to help you if you can hydrate really well, like you said, get a lot of fluid into your body to flush things out and move after you eat. So go for a 15-minute walk. And that helps your body, like it helps the muscles gobble up the sugar while your liver is busy working on the alcohol. So it kind of brings in another helper for you. So.
I am just writing down. I've got water and walking, so we've got alliteration, we've got analogies, we've got conversations
Weights
about
is
my
the last one.
kids. Okay, yes.
It's this. So you hold up three fingers and it makes a W, right? Water, walking, weights. And weights is meaning like strength, muscle. So the more muscles that you use, the more your body is able to use up that excess, essentially. So having some good muscle mass on your body, that's why we should weight train so that we can get ourselves out of trouble in the future.
Yeah.
So water, walking, weights, W.
I love it. Water, walking, and weights. Is it
Yes.
beneficial too if I if after I go and have some beer and some pizza, my wife and I go for a walk, should I do a couple of air squats and a couple of push-ups, or
Oh, as
does that?
much movement as you can do. Yes. Okay, so if you think about this, let's say you eat the pizza and you have the piece of cake. And so as you go, your blood sugar is rising, rising. It gets to a peak and then it goes back down to normal. And that's about 2 hours. Okay. So by the first hour after eating the thing, you're at your highest peak of blood sugar. So if somewhere on the first half of that hour, you can go for a walk or do some wall squats or do some push-ups or anything, as the more sugar you can use up, the more you're going to cut the top off of that sugar spike. And if you cut the top off the sugar spike, insulin doesn't have to come in and save the day. And then the liver doesn't have to do the work of figuring out where to put all that extra sugar, because the liver is the thing that turns that sugar into triglycerides. So if you ever get blood work and your triglycerides are high, they should be under 150. If they're over 150, your liver cannot afford your diet. So you can reduce those carbohydrates, those sugars, or you can go for a walk or do push-ups or move after you eat. Both of those work.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. For people who find themselves at a place where they're in debt, they've got some high interest credit card debt, and it's like the average American around $6,000, give or take. What's the average? And we can just use me. Let's use the average American male. How much extra body fat are we carrying around? What is a reasonable target? And how do I move from where I am today to kind of baby steps into that kind of direction?
Yeah, so a really good place to start is to know your number. Know your numbers. Like there's lots of numbers to know, but if there's only one number and you want it to be the easiest, most telling number, get your tape measure out and measure you right at the belly button. Okay, the belly button should be below your last rib and above your hip. Like it's usually that midpoint there. The thickest part of your stomach. And that number should be less than half of your height. Okay, so let's say I'm 70 inches, I'm 5'10. My waist should be less than 35 inches, right? And if it's not, then that's my first indicator that my liver can't afford my lifestyle. So you want to get that below. So your ratio of height, waist to height is 0.4 something, not 0.5 something, because that means it's more than half your height. So first thing is just divide your height in half, measure your waist and see if it's less. And then once you know that's knowing, okay, I've got an issue or I don't have an issue, right? Once you know you have an issue, then you just start making consistent small changes that are going to compound over time. So maybe it's one less beer, or half an hour earlier for your dinner, or a little walk twice a week after your meal, your dinner. You don't have to walk after every dinner or every meal or never drink alcohol again. Like that's not life, right? Just a little bit better is going to incrementally help you start to pay off that debt.
My experience teaches me that those small incremental changes you can see pretty good results pretty quickly if you're able to cut out one beer. I mean, I don't know what a beer is. Call it 100 calories. If you're drinking one extra one a day, Just that's how you gain that body fat. That's how you're 10 pounds overweight. It just happens such small little pieces at a time. And that's also how you get better.
It does. Yeah. And people tend to think that, oh, it doesn't matter if I just have one more piece of pizza or one more cookie. It does incrementally matter. And over time, if you have just a little bit more and a little bit less, like they eventually get a little bit further and further apart until 5 years down the road, there's a big discrepancy between the two choices, a little more versus a little less. And that's what seems like not a big deal is a big deal if you think in decades rather than days. And that's what you have to do with your health. You have to think in decades. And I always encourage people, put your blood work on your calendar and do it every 6 months or every year, whatever you can, definitely every year, and treat it as your 5K or your marathon or whatever the event is that you're training for. You're training for that blood work. And you do, so that cookie does matter, that extra drink does matter because it's all rolling up into these labs that tell you what your trend is going to look like.
Yeah. And I know that once I got in the habit of realizing that, but then actually doing it, of just actively saying, nope, I'm not going to have another whatever thing. I mean, that's how you start to develop willpower and you prove to yourself that you can do it. And it does have a massive impact.
Does.
Have people forgotten how they're supposed to feel? Have they forgotten that they don't have to be so tired all the time, that they don't have to feel so sluggish, that they don't have to feel. And I wonder how long it's like I've gone with this big belly or whatever it might be, and I've just forgotten that I don't
Yeah.
have to feel like crap.
It's your new normal, right? People don't realize that normal doesn't feel so good until you what feel good feels like. So I was talking to one of my clients 2 days ago, and she goes, "Steven, I didn't when I used to go play golf with the girls, we would eat and we would drink and we would do all the things, and I felt fine, and it was my comfort food." Right? She goes, "Now that I'm on this new healthier path, I know what feeling good feels like now. So when I go back and do this with my girlfriends, I feel the difference so drastically now. And I don't want to do that. So now my comfort food is the things that make me feel good, which is making her own dinner, or whatever the thing is." And so I think that you become more perceptive of what feeling good feels like. And that takes time. It's kind of like proprioception. Do you know that word?
No, it's
Proprioception.
a good
Probably
one.
most of your listeners don't know it. So proprioception is what keeps you from falling over when you stand up. So if I'm standing up, it keeps me standing. And it's the ability of the brain to communicate with the little muscles of the feet so that you stay standing. And people who wear really thick shoes with lots of support and they never stand on one leg, their proprioception is terrible and they don't have good balance. But if you're walking in sand and on rocks and skinny boards and your feet are free and you're standing on one leg and you're practicing, the proprioception gets very strong. Your body can know right away when you're off. And that same thing happens when you start making these healthier choices, is you become very clear of what feeling good feels like, and you can tell the difference. Because right now, when my clients just first start with me, they're like, I don't feel bad if I eat like crap. It just doesn't affect me. I mean, maybe for a night I don't sleep as well, but then I'm right back again. But if they start actually feeling good, they're like, whoa, I don't want to feel bad anymore. But that takes time to realize.
I love it.
Yeah.
Well, Stephen, you've given us a lot, but we're ready for your difference-making tip. What do you have for us?
Well, I feel like we've kind of already gone there with the difference-making tip. It's choose one thing that makes you feel excited and curious about, right? So if there's an awareness level here, and I've mentioned something like a walk after a meal or one less drink or getting to bed a little earlier or moving your dinner from 8 o'clock to 7 o'clock, you have to follow the curiosity. So I would encourage you to think about what piques your interest and lean into that, right? Because if you come kicking and screaming and like, oh, Steven said I have to do all these things, it's not going to work. So follow your curiosity, and that is the path to your best health.
Well, I think that is great stuff. That definitely gets it. Come on, Stephen. Thank you so much for coming on. Where can people learn more about you? How can they engage? Where can they get their copy of your new book, Grow Wealthy, the Financial Advisor's 4-Step Plan to Protect Your Health Like an Asset?
They can go to Amazon.com, type in Grow Wealthy Book, but they have to remember that wealthy is WELLTHY, like wellness. Then on LinkedIn, I'm always there. I'm always putting content out. So Stephen Gwynnup on LinkedIn.com, and then also growwealthy.com, where you can take my health quiz or sign up for my newsletter.
Love it. Well, if you enjoyed as much as I did, show Stephen your appreciation. Share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to growwealthy.com. It's GROWWELLTHY.com. And then pick up your copy of Grow Wealthy on Amazon. And I will link all of those in the notes of the show. And can't encourage you enough to, if you're curious about what we just talked about, if you put a tape measure around your belly and realize that your waist to height ratio is not what it ought to be, get in touch with Stephen because I know that she gets great results for her clients. Thanks again, Stephen.
Thank you, George.
Finally, friendly reminder, there's never going to be anybody more interested in your financial success or your overall health than you are. So act accordingly.